This is the first time I'm going to say good evening for a long time. It's always good morning. Glad to see everybody here tonight. I want to talk a little bit to you tonight about who we are in God's eyes as Christians. I'm certainly glad that God treats us a little differently as Christians. And then I wonder how much differently we treat God as Christians. Just a little bit on me, because most of you guys don't know me. My name's Ralph Carpenter. I'm a pipe fitter by trade for 40 some years. I've worked at Delco for 22. I was at Wentzville, Missouri for 6 or 8. I worked at Caterpillar in Aurora up around Chicago for 4 or 6, yeah, and I brought Mommy back home as soon as I could, just as I had promised. It's really a hard thing getting displaced. I never realized how hard it was, and it's a whole lot harder on Mommy than it is on Daddy's. We had grandkids here and moms and dads, and it was really a hard thing, but we learned a lot through it. I will say this about us: we love the Lord. And that's first and foremost, and that's the most important thing. That's the most important thing in your life. I found out, too, by my move to Missouri, that God's not local. He's in Missouri, too. It was great. Yeah, there's a church there and everything. People that love the Lord there, too. Isn't it great? And I think sometimes we lose sight of that, that the God that we serve, He created this earth. He created each and every one on it. And we're going to talk a little bit about how He feels about us. I want to start off, because I always do this, anytime I'm ever speaking, I want to make a statement, and that is Jesus is the only way to God. The only way to salvation is Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, please don't leave tonight without praying with me. And I'll be glad to show you scripture to show you that. You know, and if you don't already know that, I want you to know that, because that's the most important thing, and that's why we're here. Okay, now what? If we're all Christians, what now? If God's done with us, then let's head on home and have the party, right? No? What are we here for? And I love interaction, so if you guys want to say something, just please speak right. What are we here for? To tell others. Yeah, absolutely. Spread the word. Does any of you have loved ones in your family that aren't saved? Oh man, we all do. There's nothing more important to our heart than reaching those loved ones that aren't saved, right? And how do we do that? Well, we could send out flyers. We could wake them up early in the morning and tell them about Jesus. Well, maybe that's not the answer either. But maybe the Holy Spirit that's within us can touch those people by being around us. And my whole sermon got just turned way upside down last night. Have you ever been broadsided and didn't even realize you was broadsided? And then all of a sudden you go, whoa, man, that's what the Lord did to me last night. He showed me something, and I hope you appreciate it as much as I did. Set me up in bed in the middle of the night. It kind of correlates with what I was going to speak to you about. But I got to hold that. It's like the final volley of the fireworks on the 4th of July. You don't send up the finale first, do you? So you're not going to hear about it until at the end of it, okay? We'll hold the finale for the finale. Okay, in Romans 8:16, it says, "We are the children of God." Now, I would not mind going to heaven to be the pool boy and take around real nice drinks with the little umbrellas in it to everybody. I don't mind doing that. But I'm a child of the living God. You know, I've heard this song from Michael W. Smith, and it starts out with a drum roll like no other drum roll. And Jesse, I bet you've heard this one because you're a drummer, okay? It starts out just, and it just picks up tone and gets rolling and rolling and more drums and more drums. And I can picture a procession coming down the road. And I'm getting chill bumps. In the middle of that procession is Jesus Christ. And there's celebration. There's people cheering. And it's going to be like heaven, folks. If you don't like music and excitement, don't go to heaven. Or get on the backside, because it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful all the time. And then I can just see that procession rolling along. And me thinking, wow, it's Jesus. And they stop the procession. And he says, Ralph, come here. Ralph, come here. That's the relationship that Jesus has with us. We're sons and daughters of the living God. Man, we could stop right here and just do a week on this. Just on this alone. A son of the living God. Not Ralph, my servant, my pool boy. Come here. We got a chlorine problem up at the hill. Ralph, my son. Impressive. Joint heirs with Christ. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Well, folks, if we are a chosen generation and a holy nation, we are peculiar people in this world, aren't we? I just heard some things that was mentioned about the world and the shape that it's in, and abortion. And how does God feel about that? I cry about it. I get so upset about it. We are a peculiar people, and that's what we're to be. And in Galatians 4:6, what a verse. Can somebody look that up for us, Galatians 4:6? Mark, you get that for us? We have an honor. There's only two people in this world that can call me daddy. They didn't earn it. They were born into it, right? There's two people that could call me daddy. Now, I can love every one of you to death, but there's two people that can call me daddy. Mark, read what we can do with Jesus, or with God.
Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of the Son into our hearts. The Spirit called out, Abba, Father.
Abba, Father. Can anybody tell me what Abba means? Daddy. Daddy. And we're going to see some more things that we can do too. When we come before the throne of grace, when we come to Jesus to pray, it says in Hebrews 4:16, come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and help in time of need. Before the throne of grace. Do you guys know how the Old Testament times worked with God? They had this like tabernacle, and nobody could go in the tabernacle. And the priest went in once a year. And there were sacrifices made before they went in. And they put little bells on the robe of the priest. They put bells on. You know why? They wanted to hear him jostling around in there. And they had a scarlet cord they tied to their ankle. Now, wow, what a lot of faith here, right? You know what the cord was for? To pull them out if they died. Because they were going into the presence of God. They're going into God's presence. One guy, once a year, for the world. You guys, if you're born again Christians, when you pray, when you stood up here and prayed, and we prayed with you, we stood before the throne of grace. Not a universe away. We stood before the throne of grace, asking God for what we needed. And did you hear me say you were beloved and God loved you? He heard you. Now, I don't understand why he doesn't answer all my prayers as I ask them. We've been in discussion about this for many years. The answer, I'm sure, is always going to be the same. My son, little man, listen to me. I'll give you what you need when you need it as I see fit. But please continue to ask. Don't think for 1 minute that God gets tired of your prayers. Don't think for 1 minute he'll think this is a stupid, silly prayer. If it hurts you, if it's on your mind, God wants you to tell him. He cares. He cares that much about us. So we can come before the throne of grace boldly. So, given all that, how many in here feel adequate? I don't either. How many of you feel like, well, I kind of deserve that a little bit? I think I would say that to Wanda. I don't see me saying that to God. We don't feel adequate. But God has called us to serve Him. I'm a journeyman pipe fitter. I want to tell you that when I started my apprenticeship, it was 4 years, 7,328 hours, 520 hours of college credits, all the associated safety-related training, and health and safety training as well. There are certifications all along the way. I've had school, I've had classes all over the place, and I know about this much about my trade. And when I topped out and I put all those hours in and did all those things, they said, Ralph, there's a machine down. Here's the ticket. Now you go out there and I want you to look at that machine and fix it. I had never seen the machine in my life. I had no idea how it worked. I had all this training. I had certificates. Right? Well, I could flash those in front of that operator all day, and guess what? It mattered. Zilch. It didn't matter a bit. What mattered was that I could fix the machine. And I'll never forget, the guy was, he wasn't supposed to be smoking, obviously, but he's smoking a pipe back in the corner. And I walked up and I said, hi, I'm your pipe fitter. And I'm sure he's going, yeah, that's pretty good. Your machine here, you broke? Yeah. What's it do? How's it work when it works? Well, it puts a wire down here and it welds it and stretches this wire across and puts it down, welds it again. And I didn't even know how the machine worked. And he can't run it because it's broke. So what am I going to do? So I said, well, have you ever seen this before? He said, yeah. I said, what did I do to fix it? He goes, take the part right there and clean that valve and we'll be gone in 60 seconds. So I said all that to say this. Just because you've got through your apprenticeship, just because you've got all this training, that doesn't make you an ace pipe fitter. I mean, you're going to learn the rest of your life. We as Christians are the same way. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, He's forgiven you of your sins. You are now sin-free for about 2 seconds flat. Right? Don't take long, does it? So what do we do then? Well, it's a growing process, right? We don't know everything. We're not there yet. God's going to work on us. He's going to teach us what He needs us to be taught. Now, if we don't get into our Bible and we don't attend church, what are we going to learn? If we're not around Christians, what are we going to learn? How are we going to serve? We're not. The world's got this thing all skewed. They got, oh, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, and I don't think you do, not to be a Christian, but to go further. And that's what I want to talk to you about, how we go further. How do we respond when God calls us to do something? I don't feel worthy of speaking sometimes. I don't, because you know what? Don't look at Wanda. I have sin in my life. I do things I shouldn't do. I think things I shouldn't think. I'm sorry. I ask God to forgive me. I have problems in my life. Is there anybody here sin-free? No, show of hands, really. No, none of us. So, in light of that, when God calls us to do something, what's the first thing we say? Me? Are you kidding? You know I've got things in my life that aren't right. He goes, no, I want you. I want you to do this. How many of you have felt the hand of God on you wanting you to do something that you didn't want to do? Yeah. Well, if you haven't, you're going to. I promise you're going to. So the first thing we say is, well, me? I'm not capable. He goes, well, no, I made you. You know, there's a verse that says, and I could look it up here for you, but it says that before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew you. Brad, He knew you was going to be just like you are, and He made you anyhow. What about that? What about that? He also knew what you was going to be 20 years ago and what you're going to be in 20 years. But He still made you. He made you who you are, unique. And beautiful. Beautiful. We're all beautiful in His eyes. We remain His image. We're all beautiful people. As we get older, I don't feel so beautiful, but anyhow. The next thing we think is, well, I don't have what it takes to do it. Right? I can't do that. I remember when Wanda and I first started working with the youth, I go, what am I going to say to these guys? I'm only about 5 years older than they are anyhow. Moses had the same problem. He argued with God about it. He said, you know, I'm not fluent in speech. I'm not eloquent. He goes, well, take Aaron, for goodness sakes. How long will I put up with this? Take your big brother. Come on, he'll talk for you. I'm too young. I'm too old. When did Abraham and Sarah start their family? I feel pretty good about myself. Over 90. And when Sarah heard the angel say that, she laughed. How many people at 90 years old being told you're going to have your firstborn is going to laugh? I think I would too. We're not powerful. We're not sin-free. We're not pastors. We're not evangelists. What are you asking of me? One of the things that we need to understand is that God doesn't call the powerful. He doesn't call the rich. He calls plain old people just like us. He made you unique in the way you are for a reason, for a time, for a season. I don't know when my next divine appointment's going to be, but I don't want to be slack in being there at it. The Lord has things for us to do. He's put things in our way. There are things in Hawaii that God's going to have you do, I promise you. And maybe 10 years ago, he planned this whole thing out. Now, I know he probably didn't drop the line on you. Okay, well, in 10 years, you're going to be going to Hawaii. No. I know when Wanda and I got to Missouri, it was the same thing. Where do we fit? How do we fit in? It was a hard struggle trying to get there. But the Lord showed us what he wanted us. Now, we had a season of probably 2 or 3 years, didn't we, hon? That was very hard. It was very hard. We tried to plug in. We couldn't. It just wasn't good. But then the Lord started blessing and things started working. Sometimes he puts us in a season of rest, but he never puts us to pasture. He always has something to do for us. He always has somebody coming along that we can bless. I want to tell you about a fella. His name was Hugh. I could talk all night on Hugh. He was 80 plus years old, and he walked down this aisle one Sunday night. I think he's 86, wasn't he, honey? And he asked the pastor, he said, I need to ask Jesus into my heart. And I want to get down and pray, but I can't get back up if I get down. Is there a couple guys here that will help me get up if I get down to pray? And the pastor said, you don't need to kneel to pray. He goes, oh, I know my life. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. He realized what his life had been. He realized the holiness of God, and he had to kneel. I helped him up. And then the pastor, Lord knows, I have no idea why he put us with Hugh and his wife, because we were not 86 years old. You would think that an older couple could relate better, right? With an older, young couple, older couples. But we had probably 6 months that we met with Hugh and Mary, and we went through a set of studies and prayed with them and learned to know who they were. And over that time, Hugh told us a story of his life. And he told us that over the last 86 years, God had been sending people into his path. For 86 years, God had been sending people into his path, giving him words of wisdom, showing him scripture, sharing with him. 86 years. I thought I was stubborn. Hugh's got me beat by a mile, guys. 86 years. But the cool part was, God knew that. God knew that when he made him. God knew what was going to happen. And God used all these people all these years in Hugh's life, saying the things that would lift him up, saying the things that would touch his heart through the Holy Spirit speaking through him. They never got to see what I got to see. I got to help you up after he asked Jesus to be his Savior. I got to be there. We don't always get to be there. How many people have you prayed for that got saved after you prayed for them? Probably quite a few. Were you there when they got saved? Probably not. Does that matter? No, because God wants us to be faithful. That's what he's called us to be. He called us to be faithful. We have divine appointments out there. God has, as we are faithful to what he tells us to do. There are people out there right now that only Pat McKinley could speak to and get to them. God knows who they are, and God has these appointments set up for them. There are people out there that each one of us, God has something for us to do. He has something for us to say to that person. Maybe it's on a really bad day that they have that we lift them up. I've walked by people at work that smiled at me and changed my whole demeanor. How about you guys? Now the problem is we get so sidetracked on our problems, on our issues. Wanda and I, we've had a really busy year. We've had some illness in the family. We've had some problems with mom. We've moved. Oh my goodness, I can't even tell you what all we've done. Now, if you guys are planning on doing that, don't wait till 60 some years old to do it. Do it in 30 or so you get older after a while. But God is always there. He's always there. He's always helping. He's always showing. He's always given paths for us to serve, to honor him. And now I'm getting to the fireworks finale. And if I can do it without crying, I'm going to do real well because it's about my mom. Sometimes things are easy and sometimes things are hard. We had to put mom in hospice this week, and we had to move her to a facility. She has dementia. They asked her several questions. One of those questions is, what year is it? And she says, I believe it's 1932. What state are you in? I don't know. What year? What month? She didn't know. And the only real good thing is that she remembers us most of the time. Dementia is really a bad thing. It's a hard thing. Now, I'm going to tell you the question mom asks me, and I'm going to give you my patented response that every good Christian should give back. Why isn't God taking me home? Dad's waiting on me. My son Ken's there. Why can't I go home? And of course, what's the patented response I give her, Brad? God's not through with you, Mom. God's not through with you. He's got something for you to do. Have you looked? She's got dementia. She's got osteoporosis. She can't hardly move. She can't lay without hurting. She aches. She cries. Oh, Mom, God's got something for you to do. Now, I do believe that, but here... How about here? Now, I'm going to share something with you. Mom has very few abilities left. She's got very few abilities. But God's not done with her yet. Let me tell you what happened last night. This is going to blow your mind. It did mine. I woke up at a start in the bed. And it just verified what I was saying that the Lord wanted to speak tonight. Okay? I had a phone call, and there was a chaplain with the hospice service. And he said, my name's Steve, and I'm the chaplain with the hospice service. I said, well, Steve, thank you for calling. I'm glad. He said, I visited your mom, and before I talked to her, I talked to the caseworker. One of the things they told me was that your mom loved music. I said, oh, yes, she does. Especially church music. I said, oh, yes, she does. And he said, so I went and I introduced myself to her, and we had just a really sweet visit. And he said, and then I said, I hear you love music. She goes, oh, yes, I do. And he played some church music, and she sang every word to every song they played. Did I tell you she had dementia? She sang every word to every song. And as she's singing, two of the people that live there, and she doesn't know anybody yet, come walking in too, and they sit down and start singing. And then another one come in and was crying. And the chaplain got to go over and minister to this person that was hurting. They all have dementia. They're all at different stages. And then some of the staff came in, and the staff was standing around and singing. They're having church! They're having church! And I say, wow, Ralph, I know you told Mommy wasn't done with you yet, but did you? No, I didn't realize. I didn't realize what God can do. I didn't realize that He didn't have to have a lot. She don't have to have a lot. She just needs to be willing. She just needs to be faithful. We just need to be faithful. We don't have to go looking for great, grandiose things for God to have us do. Just be courteous and kind to the person next to you. Be the one to help, to put a hand out and lift somebody up. Don't be judgmental. God will do that later. Don't worry about that. There are things we can do. God can use what we have, as little as it might be, to touch others in our world. It don't have to be grand things, because if it's that small thing that touches me when I'm hurting the worst, then that's the most important thing in my day today. It may not be big on a scale of 1 to 10, but to you it is. So be that person that touches, that person that reaches out. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to give millions of dollars of money to the church. You don't have to teach Sunday school. But do what God's called you to do. And trust me, if you ask Him what you want, He wants you to do, He'll show you. He'll show you. But don't give Him any excuses. He's already been through Noah. He's already been through Jonah. He's already been through Abraham. He's been through all these people. You're not gonna bring anything to the party He hadn't already heard. So just drop that. You know, He knows you. He made you. He formed you in your mother's womb, okay? He's not done with you yet. No matter where you are, no matter where you move, whether you go to Hawaii or wherever you go, whether you're in Missouri and miserable at the time, God has a plan for our lives. I believe that with all my heart. And like I said, if anybody doesn't know Jesus, please, 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 please stay and we'll pray and I can go through God's word with you. And it's not what Ralph says that's important. It's what God says. So take these promises that He's given you, that you are the child of God, that you are His, that you're a joint heir with Christ. And then when you pray, you stand before the throne of grace. Don't ask little. You know, that's like going to them saying, okay, we're going to Red Lobster and you can have anything on the menu. And you say, can I have some of those little cheesy rolls? Get the lobster, for goodness sakes. Come on. Don't ask small, ask big. Ask big of God and see what God can do. Thank you.